The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills. Till I'm eating so much I gotta break.
Yo, it is your boy All Bro Poe. I'm joined today with my dog, the General Justice. How you doing, brother? Oh, you're muted, bro.
There you go. I'm mad muted. My bad. What's going on, everybody? What's going on, bro? The intro is hard as hell. I don't know who that is rapping, but that was cold.
Hell yeah. We're missing Sterls for the girls this weekend or this week. He is out with a sickness. He had the flu last time we hopped on here, and it's kind of been lingering. So prayers up to my buddy, my boy. I hope he gets healthy soon. So. Justice, I wanted to get in. We haven't gotten to talk about, because Sterls has been out, we have not gotten to talk about the game against the Chargers. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick and see how you're doing.
It's been so stupid. Oh, man. You know what? It's another W, man. It's another W at the end of the day, and that's what we needed. And I'm not mad at the Bills. Listen, should we have blown out the Chargers? Sure. Yes, maybe. You know what I mean? But then again, they got the fired head coach little boost that did every team always get after they get the fired head coach. They were home. The Bills had a long flight all the way over there. And you know what I mean? Like, it's a whole bunch of things you can say. But at the end of the day, they went ahead and they beat a team that the defense, at least, has a lot of talent on it. Even the offense got a lot of talent on it as well. His quarterback is just not Justin Herbert. And I don't think Easton Stick played bad. He played decent for whatever you could have expected from him. So it's a W at the end of the day. And like I said, these are games that you are probably going to see in the playoffs. You're going to see probably one score games, not necessarily all these blowouts that, you know, people have become accustomed to. So previous to this, there was always I think last year we lost every single one score game. So I'm cool with them figuring out how to win games down the stretch here in the regular season. I mean, listen, the playoffs on the line now, so you got to go ahead and win these games. But, you know, they got the W, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, and to your point, we lost up until, like, the Ravens game, I believe. We lost every one-score game, right? And this was last year. And then this year – we didn't do great in one-score games. We haven't done great in one-score games, and that has been a feeler, right, up until we got this one. We got the kind of monkey off our back type of thing with this Chargers game. And here's the thing with the Chargers. Like, they were expected to be a playoff contender going into the season. Now, they didn't have Herbert, but their defense was expected to be a playoff-style defense. They had a guy that was calling their defense for them. They have an OC in Kellen Moore, who I believe is very touted. So should we have won by more? Sure, but I'm actually glad this worked out the way it did. It kind of gets that monkey of the one score, not being able to stop a team at the end. Ed Oliver kind of emerges as your closer, which is extremely nice. And he gets that kind of confidence boost going forward. I'm not mad about it. And we got the win, and that's what really matters at the end of the day. We did see some struggles from the offense early. What did you think about our offense?
I thought it kind of looked like what plagued Dorsey's offense a little bit. It was just like unfocused, really. You know, just drop balls here, fumbles here, just a little undisciplined. And that's something that they got to watch out for. I know they probably were riding high off that Dallas game, thought they was going to go into L.A. and kind of walk over all over boys. But you still got to play the game. You know what I mean? You still got to go out there and give it your all, because in real life, you should always be giving it your all so that the teams you walk, you know, you're supposed to walk over, you do walk over them, and, you know, you're practicing for better teams ultimately. So I think that the offense was – it was good, right? They moved the ball. It was just the dumb turnovers and dumb mistakes that ended up costing them on some drives. And they did what they needed to do to win the game, especially there at the end. They held the ball for like 5 minutes or so, I believe it was. They have shown, and that's another thing that I'm very impressed with, because they did that – what was that? In KC, I believe it was, where it was like 8 minutes left and they drove it down with running the ball, and they did it again yesterday. So that brings me a little bit of peace of mind, knowing, hey, in the fourth quarter, if, you know, it's the playoffs and we, you know, I don't know, down by two and it's 6 minutes left on the clock, this game might be over. Like, we might not let them touch the ball again. I like the thought of that.
And I'll say this about, like, previous teams, we have not had that. We have not had a team that could take 5 minutes off the clock, that can move it down and control the end of the game the way that we would. And now we have got pieces like Ty, pieces like Leonard Fournette, who's going to get in the mix here, I believe, at the end of the season, who can – and James Cook, for that matter, can really drain this clock. And as Wayne said, these are what – hurt us the most, and to be fair, it wasn't. There was one on Josh that ended up they had the ball at the 50, ended in a field goal, not bad. Like, and I can take those. The fumble inside of our 20 is something that can happen, and that was on a punt. Those are the things that, like, can make a game get away from you. I do think that Deontay Hardy will clean that up. He has been fairly solid, I believe, in punt returns. The special team itself hasn't been great, but Deontay Hardy has been fairly solid in catching the ball and not fumbling it. So I don't expect that moving forward. I did want to talk about the defense, and I have my own takes on the defense, but I want to get your take on the defense as a whole in that game.
I think our defense has been overperforming all year, especially when you consider the injuries that we faced. I mean, not just injuries, but brutal injuries. I mean, you look at your top five players on the defense, three, if not four of them, got injured and damn near for the whole season. So it really does suck, the situation that they were put into. But when you look at what they were faced with, what they've done all season has been absolutely incredible. I don't think they've allowed a ton of points to anybody. Oh, the Eagles scored. But the Eagles got a lot of fluke plays too. Like, our defense is really stout. And I mean, should Easton Stick score 22 points on our defense? No. But we also shouldn't be fumbling in our own zone. You know what I mean? To build on that,
I believe one, the fumble cost us seven. The punt return fumble cost us seven. The fumble James Cook had cost us three. And the interception Josh had cost us three. So that's 13 points right there off of the turnovers, where you can, like, kind of speak into where the 22 points came from. But just to build on what you were saying.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You know, you can't have turnovers like that, because Sean McDermott preaches complementary football, and complementary football is going to be our best friend if we want to win a championship, because Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and James Cook, and Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox, and Gabe Davis, and all these guys, this great offense, offensive line is playing really cohesive and well together. If these guys can put points on the board, and we know what our defense is, our defense is designed to make you score as least amount of points as possible. And I know that sounds stupid because every defense is designed that way, right? But it's a really intricate system for our defense specifically, as in, like, you're not going to score a touchdown, at least not a 30, 40 plus yard touchdown. That's not happening. Yeah. If you drive the ball methodically down the field and you don't make mistakes and you're patient, then you might get into field goal range and maybe put points on the board that way. But they rarely ever let just deep touchdowns. And then they also get really, really stout when they get to the red zone. So the offense, if they can put points on the board, that allows the defense to be able to pin their ears back, go fly at the quarterback, attack him, be aggressive. And then that's where your turnovers start happening because the quarterback's under pressure. You got the cornerbacks getting lucky. But when the offense doesn't score points, and it allows the defense to get a run game going, and the play action starts working, and then you fumbling. And this is how bad teams win football games against good teams. And that's something that our defense has been plagued with, is our offense putting them in very crappy positions. But ultimately, I think our defense has played extremely well all season.
And just to build on that, like, our defense, and a lot of people don't understand, our defense is built to play out of phase and to play with eyes in front. So we drop into our shell. Sometimes we get a little bit more aggressive, go cover two man, cover. We've gotten a lot of cover three, which is where Easton Stick was kind of picking us apart down the field on the long drives. They were hitting those seam curl gaps on the drives, which is what team they had filmed. So, like, we played cover three against the Cowboys and we took away all of the middle. And that was like where Dak wants to play. And it's different when Easton Stick is in there. Like, you're kind of taking away the outskirts and he hit those little seam droppers, which is fine. I even told I told Joe Miller on the game day, he didn't like the cover three soft zone that we were playing. And I was like, that ball's going to get picked at some point. Lo and behold, Christian Benford ended up coming up with the pick. Granted, it was taken away. But, like, this defense is built to play a base for a good portion, hold them to three, and then eventually – if you keep trying to hit the same thing over and over again, they're going to get a takeaway. And as long as their offense is not turning the ball over, the defense that we have is built to keep you under 20. And our offense should get over 20 in every game. That's just, our offense is that nice. So going into this Patriots game, how are you feeling?
Ooh, the Patriots game. You know what? I'm feeling good. I don't even know who their quarterback is. Bailey Zappi is a quarterback.
Now? Yeah.
Man, I don't know how we. Man, we lost the first game to the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Man, it's you look at how these teams play on, like, any other Sunday, and then how they play versus us is just like, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not really worried about the Patriots per se. I think they kind of mailed it in for the season. They don't have much to play for. They actually probably want to start losing more games instead of, like, making all these comeback wins and stuff. But the Patriots, it makes me – I feel good because, A, we are comfortably sitting at the seventh seed. There is not even another 9-7 team, I don't think. No. So we have that cushion. And I do know we, like, lose all the tiebreakers, but we can still beat Miami and still get in. So not that I think we're going to lose to the Patriots, but I'm just saying it's comfortable to have that cushion because the Colts lost. The Bengals got stomped. I think the Browns did win. Steelers lost. I didn't believe in any of those other teams. I don't believe in the Browns either, but somehow they keep winning games. But ultimately, I think that we're going to end up in the playoffs regardless. Honestly, I think we are going to end up winning the division. But The Patriots is Bill Belichick. I don't know if he's going to be the coach next year.
Definitely not. From what I'm hearing, he's definitely not the coach of that team next year.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to split up.
The reason I asked you about the Patriots game is because I want to kind of see what we've been doing offensively the last two games and kind of see if we'll see that trend continuing, right? So last game, Cook had 20 carries. The game before that, he had 27 carries. He had 20 carries for 70 yards last game. Fournette had 5 for 20. Josh had 5 for 15. And so the Patriots have been fairly good against the run all year. And I want to know if you think you see that trend of James Cook getting a bulk carry in this game continues, or if this is one of those games where, I mean, generally when we play against a team that we've lost to already, our team comes out and puts the hammer down on them. They just don't like being bullied. And when they feel like they've been bullied before, they come out and kind of put, you know what I mean? They have a different mentality coming into the game. So I want to know, do you see us running the ball as much as we have in these previous two games in this next game, or do you see us trying to put foot to throw early?
I think Brady is kind of like Ken Dorsey in a sense of, I don't know if he goes into the game specifically saying like, all right, we're going to have an abundance of this today, right? I think he kind of just goes with the flow of the game. So if the run is there, then, you know, why not keep going to the well? But ultimately, you do have 17 there, and he can do almost anything in the world. So you get a pretty good bailout in that sense. But I do think we're going to see a heavy dose of James Cook for the remainder of his tenure in Buffalo. I think we're going to be seeing at least 15 to 20 carries a game from James Cook from now on, just because he has pretty much solidified him as – a top back in his league. Top 10 for sure. I would say top 5. You know, he's top 2 in rushing right now, top 3 in total yards behind Christian McCaffrey and Tyreek Hill. What? Like, that's insane. You know what I mean? So, like, he is obviously playing at a superstar level. So why not give him the ball? You know, you're not going to have Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey on your team and be like, well, is Christian McCaffrey going to get 20 yards, 20 carries this game? You shouldn't. You know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of what ticked me off about Ken Dorsey. It was just like, bro, what are you doing? Like, so I'm glad that Joe Brady uses him more. He absolutely should continue to use him more.
I do see – so here's my thing. Right? I do see this team using – Cook in this game. I just think it'll probably be more through the air. There's certain games that this team goes into where they're like, you know what, we're gonna score 40. We're gonna score 40 on this team, and our defense is just the way that, like, there's some games they go into where they're like, we're gonna be a little bit more conservative on offense, drive the ball for long periods, and maybe you adapt in game, and sometimes that's just the way it works out. But I just have a feeling this is gonna be one of those games where we come out throwing the ball 35 times, score 40 points. Our defense is going to keep them to under, 15, 16 for the most part. And then maybe they get some late score touchdowns. I have an inkling that, like, as it gets later in the season, James Cook, I mean, we're already late in the season, but later into the playoffs, and James Cook will be used how we think he's going to be used, 20 carries, 25 carries, and we'll start running the ball and draining clock. I just have a feeling this game will be a little bit more aggressive from Joe Brady. To try to get out to an early lead and then just foot to neck at that point, right? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. How do you I'm not sure when Daquan – I seen a question earlier if we think that Daquan will be 70% or whatever. Puna Ford played fairly well in this previous Chargers game. How do you see us stopping – I mean, the Patriots are – that, you know what the Patriots are going to do. They're going to run the football – first, second down, try to get it to third and short, and maybe throw like a flat or something, or a fade ball. Like, they've been doing that for the last two games, hoping that they could come out and hoping the other team makes enough mistakes where they can come out and take the game away from them. So how do you think our defense reacts to the heavy dose of run?
Well, yeah, you're going to definitely see a lot of Ezekiel Elliott. it depends. It really depends. It's so interesting. Excuse me. It's so interesting because you really do get two different Bills teams, and you don't know which one you're going to see. You don't know if it's going to be Heckle or Jekyll or Hyde. And you'd like to see Hyde a little bit more, but You know, sometimes Dr. Jekyll will be acting wild, you know, and like you see it like kind of like in the Chargers game, right? Just fumbling out of nowhere. Can't tackle Austin Eckler to save a life, right? But then, like, you get the Dallas game where it's just like shutting everything down. And even the stuff you do get, you earn it. Like, it ain't easy. Like, it's like you got to make a good play in order to pick up that third and seven, or for Dak to be able to scramble because he has absolutely no other option. And then he still gets smacked on his way down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have to earn everything. And that's the Bills team you would like to see a lot more. And that's the Bills team you theoretically, that Bills team can beat anybody in this league, right? But we don't know who we're going to see. Like, I can sit here and tell you that, oh, they're going to come out, they're going to run it down their throat, Josh is going to throw for 350. Like, I can say all that and truly believe it. But then the Bills could go out and fumble on the kick return. Now you down like 17-3 or some crazy, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know.
To hop onto that, like the Jekyll team can win. Like that's the thing. The Jekyll team, even though like you'd like to see Hyde in 40-16 or 38-20, like you'd like to see that team. The Jekyll team can win.
Yeah.
It's just like when Jekyll comes out, he turns the ball over, and then now it makes it part of the defense. And it's like, yo, if we played Jekyll and didn't turn the ball over, we'd still probably win by a good 10 points every game. You know what I mean? So the fact that this Bills team has shown that they can now, that after this Chargers game, granted against not a great team, that they can win in different ways, that's like the benefit of what happened this last weekend. You got the win, and you've shown you can win in a way where – you had three turnovers. You didn't turn the ball over. You didn't really sack the quarterback as much as you wanted to. You didn't play great offensively. And you kept him to 3-3-3-3. And eventually, Josh Allen's going to break it open at some point. Speaking of Josh Allen breaking it up, I want to get your take on Gabe Davis, because a lot of haters here in my chat be talking, you know what I mean? Spence. Sterls, y'all boys be in my ear about Gabe Davis, and I've just seen him go crazy this last weekend, and so I want to get your take on Gabe Davis and what you see from him.
Gabe is good. Gabe is great. I like Gabe. I think that Gabe has the potential, and I just mean the intangibles. I mean the height, speed, strength, size. He has good hands when he's focused. He really does have the potential to be a number one somewhere, to be honest with you. But he disappears a lot. And I don't even necessarily think that that's his fault. But sometimes when the ball comes his way, he just drops it. And it's like, oh, well, kind of see why you don't have catches in the last three games. Because like, throw you the ball, your quarterback can't depend on you in some of those moments. And so you know, the one thing about Gabe Davis is this season kind of puts him in a weird predicament where I don't know how much money he gonna want, you know, for his extension or his, you know what I mean? So like, because he didn't have such a great season, maybe we could get him for the cheap. And I would love to have Gabe Davis back as a, you have to go back to number three though. He would have to earn those. He got to earn those targets back. He do got to earn those targets back. You would have to – we drafting a wide receiver two this year. That's happening. So, you know, you're going to have to earn that second, third option back. Like, that. Like I don't know. Right? He don't got it right now, though, not for my money.
Here's my thing with the narrative of him dropping passes, that, yes, he has – so one, he has three drops this year, and that's fourth on the team. Kincaid has five now. Dawson has four in the limited games that he had, and Diggs has nine. It says nine. It probably should be eight, because that screen ball that Josh just threw last weekend was a drop. They considered it a drop, but it's probably a bad ball. He has three drops this year, and granted, he had a lot last year, but our narrative is that he dropped everything that's thrown in. And I didn't mean to like set you up in that, because I've studied a lot of Gabe Davis numbers only because I get pressed about what he does on the field. And it seems like every time that Diggs has a bad game, Gabe has a good game. And it's interesting that when people say he could be a 1A, 1B, if Gabe was in the number one role, I wonder if we would be seeing the games that he has against the Eagles, against the Chargers. I wonder if we'd be seeing that a lot more if he was the number one receiver and he was getting the targets that he's getting. Because in previous games, he's not really getting those targets. It would be interesting to see, because every time Diggs don't have that many targets, Gabe is going crazy.
My only pushback to that would be that he would have to have the number one cornerback on his ass, and they would also be giving him special attention if he was the number one, and I don't think he would succeed in those conditions.
That's also interesting, because like we haven't seen him really get clamped. Like when he's not getting numbers, he's not getting targets, he's blocking a lot, he's not like, it's not like there's a lot of times, and I've been over this in the previous, where he's wide open for touchdowns, and Josh has been missing him over the last like few weeks since Joe has taken over the snap. So it's just interesting to me that the narrative we have on Gabe with the drops, even though he has the fourth most on the team, and this year he's been a much better as far as his catch rate than last year. And we have kept the narrative that he drops everything that's thrown at him. And I'm not a big fan. I feel like Gabe has had a good year when he's put in positions to have good games.
I feel like I'm probably one of the more Gabe apologist type people. Like, you know what I mean? Like I will say that his drops be devastating. some of them come at really bad times. Yeah. So I'll give you that. I didn't know he only had three. So like that obviously says something. But the couple times that Josh has missed him in the end zone and everything, I see him as having great potential. Like he has a great set of skills. He's got great size, great speed. He's brilliant. You know what I mean? Like he could go somewhere and be great for sure. Honestly, he is the epitome of this Bills team. He is what the Bills team is, right? Just mad streaky. That's what the Bills team is. Just mad streaky. The Bills team could, again, he could give you zero catches for 0 yards, or he could give you seven catches for 163. Like, you don't know what you're getting from Gabe. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you're getting from the Bills.
I like where you were going with it at first. He the epitome of this Bills team, like, this team in general. Yeah, you went left with it. I get it. He gets streaky. They ask him to do all this blocking, and Mookie brought it up last week when we had our little chop up. They ask him to block so that these tight ends and Cook can get out on their routes, so that they don't have to sit there and block. So he does a lot of that and whatnot. Now, what they ask him to do, and the fact that he's okay doing it, is something you're not going to find in a lot of number two receivers, where like, you can bring in a number two next year, and he. Why am I sitting in here blocking? I should be out getting routes. You know what I mean? Like a George Pickens is not going to sit there and block for you. It's just not how it is. So like, well, who would you rather have on your team right now, Gabe Davis or George Pickens? You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
I see your point. It's just a bad week to ask that.
Yeah, we'll see what he does next week. I do think that this team's going to come out and throw the ball over the yard next week, which will be interesting. Let's get your take on the AFC East. We got the Dolphins and the Ravens coming up here, which is a big game for us. Everything that needed, like everything other than hold on. Spin, you told us to tank when we were 6-6. So your football tanks are suspended. Right now,
find those tweets of those people that
I took screenshots. I took screenshots, Ben.
Get the number one pick. We want Marvin Harrison. I was like, y'all wallet.
I took screenshots. Anyway, the AFC East, the Ravens and Dolphins coming up. That's a big game for us. And they didn't end up getting the L this week, but everything else that we needed to have happen literally happened for us. So there's so many ways that we could clinch a playoff spot this week. There's so many ways that we can have a shot at the AFC East and the two seed in week 18. What is your take on the AFC East and how it's looking right now?
I mean, yeah, you look at it, and I was very shocked that the Dolphins beat the Cowboys. honestly, I think that game said more about the Cowboys than it said about the Dolphins, because the Cowboys look like they're in trouble. Them not being able to win that game was concerning. Listen, I will say this. Tua is very, very good with these receivers. He knows them very well. They work, right? He's great with anticipation. It seems like every time he throws the ball, it lands right in the breadbasket for a 17 or number 10. And I will say they do look good. Obviously, they have their, you know, deficiencies. If you can get pressure on Tua and you can take away his first and second option, it's over. Right? He ain't really got no other. He ain't got nothing else to do. He can't run. He can't escape the pocket. He's going to get frazzled and probably get a concussion or something. So I look at them and I say, that's a decent team. That's a decent team. I would say above average, in fact. And what the Ravens just did to the 49ers was nasty. That was nasty. So I don't have any doubt that the Ravens about to come back and do the same thing to the Dolphins. But the Ravens are kind of like the Bills in the sense of you don't know what Ravens team is going to show up. Now, their defense is always going to show up. Defense is going to show up. And if there was another defense outside of the Bills that could stop the Dolphins offense, I would say it's the Ravens. Kyle Hamilton, I'm convinced, is Superman. Okay. Yeah, boy, it's just everywhere. So I will say that if Lamar and, you know, OBJ and Edwards and Flowers and all them boys can get it going, it should be a blowout in all reality. But I don't know, because I don't know what team you're going to get. But other than that, I think that the Bills stomp Miami in Miami. No matter what, whether, you know, we got the division to play for or not, I think that we just got them figured out.
Yeah, I was watching this this Dolphins Cowboys game, and I watched the Dolphins probably every week for the last like 6 weeks, and I just don't understand. I don't understand like why defenses play the way they do against the Dolphins as far as trying to take everything underneath away. There's every deep ball I've seen Tua complete to Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill has been on third down and six when the other players will run a stick route and they run a wheel or a fade or something to Tyreek, and everybody wants to come and take that underneath route away, and it's extremely dangerous, and our defense doesn't do that. You go ahead and take the underneath route. We'll come up and tackle. If you get the first down, you get the first down, but you're not getting anything over the top on us. And I don't know. The Ravens are a very turnover-heavy defense to where they may get overly aggressive, and I really don't want to see that. I would like to see them bank on their offense scoring 30 points and keeping them to 20, making them drive the length of the field rather than giving up any deep plays. Which is why I found it surprising the Cowboys actually – did that for the most part. There was one or two plays where they got a little over aggressive. That Cowboys team likes to play in phase, and I would like to see the Ravens play a little bit more of a Bills shell defense that our team doesn't like seeing, and making Tua beat you going up and down the field and trying to draw his timing off of the pass rush. And they have a good pass rush, the Ravens do. So if they play it smart, I just don't see a world where the Dolphins win this game. I can see a world where the Ravens throw it away, and that's like the concerning part, I feel like, for me. I really want this, and I know I said I had the script early on in the when we were 6-6. I think I said this to Sarah. We're gonna come out and they're gonna lose. I thought they were gonna lose Cowboys, Ravens, us. I thought they were gonna lose all those, but they ended up losing the Titans. So now we still got a shot at it, and I really like this last game to be for the East in that two seed. And yeah, this is a big thing too. Waddle and his ankle sprain. A lot of the things that Waddle can do, that ankle sprain is going to hurt him. So, what about the Dolphins defense. How do you see them going against this Lamar offense?
Well, yeah, you definitely got to worry about Wilkins and Jalen Phillips over there. They got that boy. Javon Holland. Oh my God, that boy is good. obviously, Xavier Howard. I think he's injured, right? But either way, they got Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, I mean, they got good players over there to be able to stop offenses. It's just that I don't know if they're going to be able to deal with the heavy dose of run that they're going to get from the Ravens, right? You got an amazing secondary, but the linebackers ain't amazing. Van Ginkle, you know what I mean? They cool. They ain't great. And that's really where you might be able to get them, especially when you're the Ravens, right? The offensive line, you got Pat Ricard, you know, great running game. You also got the option where they don't know who's going to be getting the ball. You get to freeze the defensive end. Then RPOs, of course, you got Flowers, who's super quick, can get open across the middle. OBJ, who I don't know if I could quite say he is what he used to be, but I mean, what's one step down from all-time great? You know what I mean? So, like, clearly, you know, he still got something left. He was about to be the Super Bowl MVP before he tore his other ACL. So, Miami got a problem on their hands just with that run game. Because even if you do start, you know, committing to the run and adding more to the box, that's when that play action come out. And when the play action come out, you got to defend the cutter, right? You got to defend the tight end running this way. You got to defend the running back running out that way. You got to defend the receiver running out that way. Cool. Now do all that and then stop Lamar Jackson from running. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot.
The Dolphins have trouble. They're not sticky, right, in the defensive backfield, whereas our defensive backfield are pretty sticky when it comes to, like, having to lock down a quarterback for a multitude of seconds. And now people have gashed us when they know it's coming. But the Dolphins, they've never been sticky. And that's why a guy like Josh Allen, who can buy you 4 or 5 seconds, them receivers are going to get open eventually against the Dolphins. So, like, it'll be interesting to see how much Lamar affects the game by buying just a little bit of time for these receivers to just kind of play backyard football, because the Dolphins don't want to play backyard football on defense. They want to get after the quarterback, kind of keep you in the pocket, make you throw on time, and play a little bit in phase and jump routes. And that's not going to be the case with a guy like Lamar if Lamar decides to, you know, turn it up a notch for this game. So and Josh does that, and that's why Josh is so successful, has been so successful.
I do wish Lamar did more of, like, what Josh and Pat do, right?
Yeah.
Because Lamar is the most elusive quarterback maybe in the history of the planet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but right. Vic said himself that Lamar
elusive wise
for sure. But he, like, he don't run to the sideline looking for a pass. Like, when he get out the pocket, he might look for a second, but if it's green grass in front of him, he gonna take off, which is fair, because I mean, he's the most dynamic player, maybe outside of Tyreek Hill, with the ball in his hands. But I do wish that sometimes he danced a little bit, give his guys a little bit more time to, you know, make the scramble drill happen, because Pat is the master at that. Pat, oh my God. Yeah, that be pissing me off, bro. He's been running back and forth through the line, and you know, he always figure out how to avoid the rusher, right? Like, Josh should just throw people off of him, and like, he ain't got to really worry about
that. Josh does it similar. He just, like, he probably...
It's similar, but it's a more physical aspect, right? It's not just the da-da-da-da-da Ali. He also is throwing defensive ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but they both, you know, keep their eyes down the field, and they're giving their, you know, receivers an opportunity, you know, to get open so that he can find them. Or at least from what I watch about Lamar, I don't really see him do that too often. When he gets out of pocket, he goes, which, again, is fair. But, you know, there are bigger opportunities for plays down the field sometimes, I feel like.
Lamar, like, and this has been evident when you get in his face and he wants to throw the ball, he kind of gets off his back foot rather than getting to a place. And Jordan picked that last year, right? So, like, we got pressure up the middle. He tried to throw that late ball off his back foot, Jordan picked it for Dub. And that is the essence of why I think Lamar struggles in the playoffs, is because his skill set is meant, like, he has the skill set to buy so much time for receivers. He has the arm strength, he has the accuracy to be able to throw those balls. If he gets to a place where he, like Josh, for example, that throw to Diggs, if he sets his feet and throws it, Josh throws the ball further than anybody else in the NFL. Instead, he underthrew it because he's trying to throw off his back foot, and Lamar does that too often. Mm-hmm. And that's why I struggle with, like, you're going to have to make some of those throws to win playoff games. And so I hope this week going into it, and actually I do want to get into this topic because I've been talking about it all day on Twitter. Your MVP right now.
Me?
Yeah.
Let me see. Which one is it? Oh, it's this hand right here. What that's like?
That's your MVP?
JA17.
Unbiased.
All right. Unbiased. Yo, Josh, what are we? Yo, it baffled, like, literally the only, and I mean the only reason Josh Allen isn't the runaway MVP right now is because, like, the media has this weird hate for Josh and the Bills. Like, I don't understand why it is or where it comes from, but they all just have this purpose of just, like, finding some reason to just wipe away everything they've done. What, he leads the league in touchdowns? Yeah, but he's got some interceptions, right? Like, what? Yeah. Oh, this team got a running back that's top three in yards, a quarterback that's number one in touchdowns, right? You got a stud tight, but, you know, we don't know what type of Bills you're going to see. They lost to the who knows what and that. You know what I mean? They just find every little reason to try to just discourage the Bills and just, I don't know, man. I don't understand it, but that's literally the only reason Josh is not your MVP. He is miles ahead of the next quarterback, okay?
Statistically.
Now, if you want to say Christian McCaffrey should be MVP or Tyreek Hill should be MVP, all right, cool. But what we know MVP to be, which is a quarterback award, Josh Allen is by and far the best quarterback this season.
And I don't think the MVP should only be quarterback. I will say my MVP, if it was given to the rightful most valuable player of a team, would be Christian McCaffrey, right? So, like, Christian McCaffrey.
Whoa. let me ask you, though, because you just said rightful MVP, right?
Yeah.
So now we have to take most valuable player and we got to put that in its full context, right? We're the most valuable player. Last week, there were two players on the same team up for MVP. How is that possible if we're talking about the most valuable player?
Well, Brock Purdy. Well, I don't think Brock Purdy is in the discussion. Well, I'm talking about my opinion. Brock Purdy was never in the discussion for me.
Okay, all right.
I put Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts in this category of game managers. Tua. Similar game managers up there. That's my opinion. I think they managed the game
in 30 seconds. Okay.
Yeah, I put them in that topic of game managers. So, like, I never had Brock Purdy in my MVP case. It was always CMC if anybody on that team should have won it. And I do think that without CMC, that team is probably somewhere near like 10 and something right now, and not like maybe 9, and, you know what I mean? Like, I think if you take CMC off of
right
that
now,
team,
11 or 12 and 4,
yeah. And the three losses that they had, they didn't have Debo and CMC for two of them, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think if you take CMC off that team, they're not the same team. You don't have to focus on the running back as much. I will say that if it is a quarterback, if the idea is that we're giving it to a quarterback no matter what, it's not even close. I don't think that it's even close. If Josh if we win the East, if we find a way to win the East, because I do think that the MVP should have to come from a winner of the division. If we win the East, there is no question that if you give it to a quarterback, it should be Josh and only Josh. It shouldn't be anybody else.
I actually, the Bills actually provided evidence for Josh to be MVP this season, right? That little six-week span where Ken Dorsey basically neutered the offense, you got to see what a team without Josh Allen would look like. And they didn't win very many games. And then the games that they did win literally was only because of Josh.
Well, but okay, but like, are we arguing most valuable player of the team? Because all, I argue that's 100%. If you take Josh off this team, he's the most valuable person on this team. We don't have anywhere near the same amount of success.
But he's now the most valuable person of relative to every team in the league, Josh Allen is the most valuable player.
I mean, you can have the argument for CMC and Tyreek. You can have the argument. You can't have the argument for any other quarterback.
No. Because I'm not talking about the MVP award anymore. I'm just talking about relative across the league to the entire team.
Value in one team.
You said what?
Value in the team. Josh is definitely the most valuable player on the team.
He is 83.3% of the Buffalo Bills' touchdowns this season.
Well, in offense in general, it's probably like he has the – I think he has around 76% of the yards.
Insanity. Yeah. Absolute insanity.
So, like, the argument is there. However, like, it's like history has shown you it would be a quarterback, but it also needs to be a quarterback from
a division
winner. And so, like – if they don't win the division, then I don't see another quarterback. Like, even the Lamar argument, Lamar shouldn't get it over CMC, in my opinion, because you don't have the numbers
to
win the MVP. I love Lamar. Like, he's a good dude and a good player, and he has a lot of value to his own team. But I just think CMC is probably him and Josh, as far as value to their team, and Tyreek, for that matter, are up there in, like, the top three. And then, but you have to come from a winner. So, like, if the Dolphins win, it should be Tyreek. If the Dolphins win the East, you know what I mean? Like, that type of argument matters. It'll come down to the storylines, I believe, towards the end of the year, what team is riding high on a win. Yeah, exactly. In which, if there's no runaway with the MVP, it always comes down to the narrative, which is interesting to me. Let's move into just final thoughts on the end of the season for the Bills, what you'd like to see happen as far as the team itself, what you see happening against the Patriots and the final thoughts against the Patriots moving forward, and then your final thoughts as a whole.
Yeah, I was really hoping that Miami lost to Dallas so that we could have a shot at the one seed. But since they didn't, we need the Ravens to beat them next week. Because if they would have lost to Dallas, then we wouldn't care if the Ravens won or not. So if the Ravens lose out, then we beat Miami. We're the one seed because Kansas City is ass now. So it would have been cool, but now it doesn't matter. So I'm happy with the Ravens in the one seed. Keep them there because I firmly believe that we can go into Baltimore and slap them around. We already got the head-to-head over Kansas City. NFC, AFC South ain't doing nothing. So
I do believe that the if we win the division, we're the two seed, no matter what.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, really the only option is two seed. I mean, now if by some anti-miracle happens and the Dolphins beat the Ravens, then, you know, obviously we're probably going to be stuck at that 7 seed. But even in that case,
I think it'd be automatic 6 seed. If I'm looking at the numbers correctly,
oh, yeah, four it'd be automatic 6 seed. Yeah. 6 seed.
So
yeah,
we would go into Kansas
right
City.
The Browns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we go back to Allen Head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we go back to Allen Head and we make, you know, Pat Mahomes cry a little bit more. Like, he's been doing damn near all season since he played us.
And to be fair, his receivers are absolutely...
No, they suck, but you know what? Because you know what it is? First of all, and I got in trouble for this, and I don't care. I'm going to say it again. The way he acted towards Josh after that game was absolutely unacceptable. First of all,
he apologized.
For a grown man. And then B, for a superstar face of the league, this is how you acting?
Okay,
but, you know why, Jer? Because if Josh would have did that to Pat, it would have been everywhere.
Well, Josh was never Josh would never do that.
No, like, but Josh, that's my point though.
But
before Pat did it, you probably would say Pat would never do it too, though.
No, because he's never lost.
But
he don't Josh, lose like that.
If Josh went to Patrick Mahomes talking about some worst effing call in the world, dog, they would have been on his ass, bro. You know it. So, like, first of all, Pat still deserves.
But they were on Pat. They were on Pat.
I love Pat Mahomes, but he was wrong. I don't want to hear that.
But, he apologized. And on Pat's side, they haven't lost like that much. Yeah, they haven't lost, and the frustration he's feeling, listen, I get it.
I feel frustration all the time. I promise you.
You tell me he never cuts out a player on the sideline?
I'm telling you, I understand. I'm just saying that you got to be better than that. You got to hold yourself to a higher standard. Because look at Josh. Last year, his receivers led the – or no, it wasn't last year. The year before that, his receivers led the league in drops. You know, you're complaining and crying in other quarterbacks' faces. You know what I mean? Like, we lost games on Hail Marys, dog. Like, we lost the worst possible ways. And he never cried in nobody's face. So, Pat Mahomes, he going to cry again. And I firmly believe that we go back into Allen Head and stomp him again, is my point is that I was making.
I agree. I'm not really afraid of anybody in the playoffs, if I'm being 1,000% honest. There's not one team where I'm like, whether we play at home, whether we play on the road, that I feel like we can't win. However, like, getting that number two seed, having a home, and then making the Chiefs or the Dolphins play against the Baltimore in Baltimore first before, I mean, then having that, you know what I mean? Like, so I really would like the two, and so that we could play. I want to Josh to be at home. If I'm like, it'd be ideal if we were at home. Now I think we have the makeup on this football team to beat the Ravens. I just think that Sean McDermott has that offensive number. And I think we play them the right way. And Josh is going to do, I mean, that defense is solid over there. That's the difference probably is the defense over there. So I think Josh is going to, can be Josh at any, in any place. It doesn't matter where it's at. Doesn't matter where, like, he also can do the Jets and the Chargers thing in any place, but our defense has the makeup to beat the, by the way,
Josh only lost one game for us this year, right? I just want that to be clear.
Well, I'd
want that to be clear.
You're saying, like, if you're going to put blame on Morsi,
firmly his fault. Jets game was firmly his fault. That's the only one.
Okay, but like, we gave up 14 points to the Bengals to start that game, and then we didn't score until the third. We didn't score until the fourth.
That was during the Dorsey sabotage.
Absolutely. If you want to blame Dorsey for that, instead of Allen, absolutely.
But hold on. Let's look at that playoff pick real quick. Like, so we the two seed, we playing what, the Colts or like the Bengals or something?
It would be the last team in. Could be the Steelers. Yeah. Could be the Bengals. Could be the Colts.
All right, we busting them. That's nothing, right?
In Buffalo, right. I like that.
Yeah. So then the three would play the Dolphins.
So the Dolphins would end up playing the Chiefs in Kansas City to go.
Oh,
to
because the Dolphins the Ravens, would be the five the seed,
the six seed. If they lose the next two games, they end up getting the six seed.
They got 11 wins though. The Browns only got 10.
But if they end up losing the next two games and the Browns win one, I believe the Dolphins end up getting the six seed. The Browns would have the five seed. And I believe. I don't know the AFC's tiebreakers and whatnot between the Dolphins and the Browns.
So I think that Miami could go take the Chiefs out. I really do. I don't know what's going on with the Chiefs right now. They rotten or something. I don't know. I think Miami could take the Chiefs out. I don't think Cleveland could take the Chiefs out. If they do, then that's a sad year for the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, shoot. The Chiefs is really the only team that's like, Only because I mean, the rest, I gotta give them that respect because they did. You know what I'm saying?
It's Pat Mahomes, so yeah, like he gets to the playoffs and it's whatever. But the ideal situation is we get the 2 seed, and if we have to see the Chiefs, we play them at home.
And I'm gonna give you one more. If we get the 2 seed, I don't think we play away.
I don't think so either. I don't think I'm not a big Lamar in the playoffs guy.
Keep bouncing the divisions, bro. Yeah, I really do.
I'm on that wavelength of like I don't think to Lamar could come out and prove wrong. Absolutely, but I'm a big. You got to show me first.
Word.
You need to show me first. You know what I mean? Like last year you were hurt. They ended up losing that weird fumble to the Bengals game. Whatever, but. You Baltimore going to show me in the playoffs. You going to show me something. It's different up there. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see if we end up getting that home game. The 2 seed is ideal. So like we take care of the Patriots and the Dolphins lose. Ideal situation. We're playing for the East, and which is what the NFL wants. So if we're thinking about conspiracy theories, NFL wants this last game between the Bills and the Dolphins to be for it all, and. You know what I'm saying? I'm a conspiracy guy, so you know what I'm saying? You know, they might go into Baltimore and help us out a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you one more question, right? Let's say that the Dolphins do beat the Ravens, and let's say we clinch like the 6th seed or something, right? Do you think that we go, oh no, they would be the 1 seed if they beat the Ravens, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and so
because the Chiefs can't be 1 seed no more. So if they beat the Ravens, they clinch the 1 seed. Actually,
they don't clinch. We can still beat them, and they would end. And the Baltimore win next week, and the Baltimore takes that 1 seed back. We wouldn't care. No, I think the Ravens have one more win. 12.
Oh, that's
So fine. Like, okay. So if we go into that week. 18 game, and we have clinched the 6th seed, and we can't move, which is possible. I don't see us playing our starters.
That's what I was about to ask too. Yeah.
Yeah. If the Dolphins end up winning, I don't see us playing, and they'll be playing their starters because they want the 1 seed, right?
The one seed.
So I mean, I see that happening. That could happen. I really believe they lose this week. If I'm being 1,000, like I believe they lose this week. I believe we win this week, and we go into that game on the 18th for the 2. That'll be.
Biggest game of the year.
Absolutely. Before we get out of here, final thoughts, anybody, any shout outs you want to give out? You guys have been awesome in the chat section. I appreciate y'all, except for Spin, who said we should have tanked at 6-6. Don't lie to me. I got screenshots. You wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. You said, yo, let's go. So I got screenshots of that. Stop playing with me. Any last minute shout outs?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Shout out to y'all over at Rumblings. I appreciate the invite. I appreciate the love. Shout out to my fan, Buffalo fan base. Shout out to everybody in the comment section that came out and supported us. You know what I mean? Appreciate all that. Make sure y'all go follow at JA17MVP. Follow Buffalo fan base. We got shows and everything, videos, all that cool stuff. So thank you.
What day is your show? Where can they find you at?
Whenever Mookie got time. Oh, where my reasons be going? Whenever.
Follow my boy Justice General on Twitter. His at is in the right there in the picture. Go follow him on Twitter. He'll send out some notifications when he's going live with Mookie. Maybe I hop on one of those. All Bo Pro here. So I appreciate everybody in the comments. Love y'all. Go Bills. We're out of here.
I need it up front. Can't tell me because I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it.
Everything around my whole team, though. You ain't getting money, you ain't never seen, though. Tell me with the cash, and I tell you with the stash.